Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Well, let's turn over to John 14, verse 1 to start. John 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. God is so good. He is a good God all the time. All the time. All the time. He is always good. You believe it?
Yes.
Always. You don't know the kind of week I've had, you might say. No, He's good. He was on the throne the whole time. Thank God. He's good. And His mercy endures forever. Regardless of what it looks like sometimes in our lives, regardless of what's going on, God's good. He's on the throne. And He has our best interests at heart all the time. All the time. You say, well, it doesn't look like it right now. I'm not sure where He's gone. No, He's there. And He's faithful. And He is good. All the time.
Amen.
All the time. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Let your heart just agree with that and hook up.
Right.
Let your heart take that. And I know we all live, we live in this fallen world, and stuff doesn't always look perfect. It always looks like sometimes, we were mentioning this Wednesday a little bit too. The enemy is going to try to whisper in your ear that God is not faithful and that God's your problem. And He's not your problem. He's not my problem. He's never been anybody's problem. God is on our side. He is faithful and He is good, period. All the time. He is faithful and good, and He was good and faithful this week just like He always has. Because He never changes. Tell me, which week is He going to decide to take off and all of a sudden not be faithful? Well, the worlds were founded by His Word. Everything is upheld by the word of His power. If He decides He's just going to check out, everything is going to fall apart. Because
right.
He is the God. He is the life giver. He's the one that keeps everything together. And so He's on the throne.
Amen.
Let's read some words of Jesus. You think those are good words? Jesus' words? Let's read what He said. John 14, verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to... Am I in the right place? I don't think so. It's probably good too, but I'm not going to preach on that today. I didn't think I recognized that. I was in Matthew verse 14. Does this get to my point eventually? I don't know. There we go. John 14 verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house there are many mansions. Thank God for that. In My Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Thank God. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thank God. Jesus is preparing a place for us. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are not citizens. We are, you know, we may be citizens of the U.S. We may be residents in the earth, but our true citizenship is in heaven. We're just passing through here. And there's some things that happen. It doesn't always look great, but if we'll stay on God's side, He has an answer for everything. He will take us through everything. We have to remember, we're just passing through. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is as bad as it's ever going to get.
Really?
The only hell you're ever going to experience is here on the earth. On the other hand, if somebody doesn't know Jesus, if a person does not know Jesus, the only heaven, the closest thing to heaven they're ever going to experience is on this earth.
That's right.
And that's it. And for eternity, they're going to be separated. Is that God's will? No. God sent Jesus to die and freely gave and said, if you believe on me. If you believe on me, you shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's not his will, but people will reject him. People will turn their backs on him. And so we said this part, we said some of these things Wednesday, but if he'll let that happen, some people say, well, God can do anything in somebody's life. He can do anything. God can do anything in a man's life. He's not bound by anything. He can do what he wants to do. I disagree. If that were the case, how much more of an important thing is being saved and going to heaven? But God will let a man reject Jesus and go to hell. If he'll let a man and he won't intervene and make him get saved in that, how many other things will he not intervene in? And he'll allow things to happen. God doesn't do everything. He's not in control of it. Now, he is God. He can. He has the power, but he's limited himself. He gave man a free will.
That's right.
Just because somebody has the power to break in your house, they don't have the authority. You see the difference? I mean, if somebody has given you authority, or you have authority to protect yourself, people, they'd have to break the law to come on and trespass in your property. God has the power to do anything. But he's limited himself. And he gave things to men. This is why. This is why things... Somebody said this once. He was praying and the Lord spoke to him and he said, son, every hardship that man experiences in life is because I've given man a free will. Now, I'm not saying everything is our fault. I'm saying all the things that have come into this earth, starting with Adam, sin, disease, sickness, all the hardship and relationships, it all stems from the fact that men have a free will. Your ancestors had a free will. People all along have chosen either to serve God or to not serve God, and so things have happened in this earth not perfectly. But God has sent Jesus to make a way back to him, regardless of our state, so that we could believe on him and be back in the family of God, and so that we can experience a good life on this earth in spite of the fact that we live in a fallen world. In spite of it. So just because there are certain things that don't look right on this earth, God himself is on our side and he has provided a way out of every one of them if we'll look to him. If we'll look to him and say, God, I don't understand everything, but I trust you. I count you faithful. I believe that what you said in your word is true. Regardless of what I see, regardless of what I feel, you are not a liar. You are true and I choose to believe on you. In my circumstance now, when I see nothing that would tell me that in the natural, I choose to believe your word in spite of it. Now, that is why that when we do that, we are giving him authority in our lives. See, he gave us a free will and gave men the ability to reject him on an eternal basis or to reject him day by day. But when we come, see, when we came and said, I believe on Jesus as my Lord and Savior, you gave him authority to come in and regenerate your heart and make you new. It says that over in John. Actually, just hold your finger in John 14. Go over to John 1. John chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 9, John 1, verse 9. It says, that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Talking about Jesus. and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. See, verse 12, but as many as received him. See, it said people rejected him. They didn't recognize him as God. But as many as received him, he gave the right. Margin of my Bible says authority. They gave him the right, the authority to become children of God. See, our decision to believe on him gave him authority for us to have to be in his family. You see that? He did not do that unilaterally. He gave the ability for everybody to become born again. He paid for everybody's sin, but everybody doesn't just automatically go to heaven. Some people like to say that. Some people twist scripture and say, well, God loves everybody so much that he'll never send anybody to hell. That's a lie. That's not true. That's deception, and people go and say, well, you see, God loves everybody so much. That's true. But God gave us a free will. And it says very clearly in the Word what we need to do to be born again. But he said in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. So if we'll believe on him, then we have the authority to become born again. Because we gave him the right by our words, by our heart. We said, God, I believe you. Come in and change my life. He says, all right, that's what I've been waiting to do. And we change. It's the same with everyday life, every other part, where we give him authority. And we say, God, I don't understand it. I don't see it. But I believe you. Your word will be done. That gives him authority, legal right, to come in and do what he wants to do the whole time. By saying his words, if he's given us his words and we say, I agree with that, just like when we got born again, if we'll believe on him, it's the same way. He gives us words and he says, this is what I want to do in your life. And we said, yes, that's the way it'll be in my life. We give him authority to do that. On the other hand, when we go and say, I just don't know what God's doing, and I don't know how this is ever going to happen, and I don't know how it's ever going to change, and I'll probably never make it, and I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, and we're probably going to go bankrupt on this, we are binding his hands. Do you see this? This has nothing to do with his will or wanting to. Sometimes people go too far in another direction, and they say, well, it's all up to God. God will just do it. That's his heart, but he can't. If you bind him in your life, you are saying, no, God, don't change anything. This has nothing to do with his want to. This has nothing to do with you being perfect or not perfect. This has nothing to do with your performance. That's why we have the blood of Jesus. If we mess up, we go, Jesus, I messed up. Thank you. Lord, I blew it. Forgive me. Go on. I'm clean. This has nothing to do with that, but sometimes we'll sit there, we'll say everything against the Word of God, and even though God's will is for us to be healthy, God's will is for us to be well, we are tying his hands and saying, Lord, you have no authority, even though we wouldn't say it like that. We are tying him. We are agreeing with the enemy and yielding to him and his will. You don't want that to be done. But that's what we're yielding to. We're listening to those thoughts, and we're starting to say what the enemy says. But if we'll just turn it around and start saying what the Word of God says, regardless of what we see, regardless of what we feel. And I know some days it doesn't feel, you don't feel like saying what God says. The last thing you want to do, you may know exactly what you want, you're supposed to do, but you say, I just don't feel like it. I don't see anything changing. I don't feel like speaking the Word. I don't feel like reading the Word. I don't feel like going to church. In spite of what we feel, we just do the word anyway. Because if we cut ourselves off from what God wants to do in his word, When you start to feel like that, and we all have, usually when you need the word the most, you need to just spend some time with God the most, is exactly the time you feel least like doing it. Anybody ever notice that? You need it. When you feel like that, you can chalk it up. I need to go read the Bible. I need to be at church. I need to, because the enemy is going to try to keep you away. Make no mistake. He's going to throw everything in front of your path to try to get you away. There is a devil. He'll let you go. He doesn't care if you're not serving God and you're off in the corner. He's not going to mess with you. I mean, you're under the curse of the law. I mean, the world anyway, the curse of the fall. You live in a fallen world, so stuff is going to happen. I'm not saying the devil instigates every little thing. He doesn't. But he's the cause of everything from the beginning, because everything that God made was good. But in our life, he will push against you to try to keep you from receiving the word, because he knows the word is what's going to change you. What we're talking about today is light, where the light comes, where the word comes. See, you're hearing things. We're seeing things in the word. We're seeing, oh, if we agree with what we see, our lives can be different. The last thing the enemy wants you to do is to know that if we'll speak what God says, that we can be out from under his control. He doesn't want us to know that. He wants us just to yield to him. There is a very real spiritual world going on behind everything we see. Make no mistake. Bible talks about it all along. The best thing is for the enemy to get you to believe there's nothing going on behind the scenes. That's just your thoughts. That's just you. And people have written all kinds of things off like that. Well, you're ignorant then. If we'll be ignorant and we won't act on what we know, the enemy can have his way. Knock you left and right. You don't think he exists. You don't think he's there. Bing, 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 just like a pinball machine. But if we'll stand up and we'll know what if we know what the word says and act on it, then we can line up with what God says when we can have what he says. So in let's go back to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 1, where we started to read. I think we can get back there now. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. What's Jesus saying? Let not your heart be troubled. Now, with everything we've said, can we do that? Is Jesus telling us to do something we can't do? We can stand up and say, I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. See, it comes back to what we do and what we have. We have authority in our life. We can decide to let our heart be troubled, or we can decide that I'm not going to do that. And some people, you can hear it taught to a certain degree that, well, you just can't help yourself. You're just going to have bad days. There's something, man, in your situation, anybody would be troubled. Well, it might be true that anybody will be tempted to be troubled. But is Jesus a liar, or is he true? Is he unjust, or is he just? If he told us to do something, can we do it? And I'm saying we do it in our own power. Can we look to him? Can we do what he told us to do? Yes, we can. And if we subscribe to the idea that, no, I can't, and it's just all up to Jesus, and I can't do it, but he's going to help me anyway, he would love to. But God's not going to override our will. He's not going to step in and make us change when he has given the ability for us to change and to step up and say, enough's enough. You can't relegate something to God that he's given to us.
True.
I think I may have told this story not long ago, but it'll bear repetition. Brother Hagin tells the story of some people that worked, I think, they worked for a certain ministry, and they were like the office staff or whatever. And anyway, they lived in this place. I think it was provided for them or whatever, but there was a pool on this property. And they had a child, one, two, I don't know, the child could walk, so maybe it was two or three. And he would walk around this property. And the caretaker, the person that was in charge of some of that, said, you better watch that child. He's going to drown. And these people were Christian. They said, oh, no, we give the angels charge over him. He's not going to drown. But they were letting him walk around, three-year-old, near the pool, uncovered, unchecked. And sure enough, the kid drowned. Now, was that God's will?
No.
Can you believe God to protect your children? Yes. But a three-year-old is put under a parent's care, and it is ignorance and foolishness to think that to just relegate that to angels when God gave us that authority. He gave us the ability to raise our children. You're letting your child play by the street and say, oh, well, God will protect him. That's foolishness. God did not say that in the Word. People, this is what we're talking about when we say you think you can say anything and God just has to back it up. No, if He's given us responsibility, then we have to do what He gave us the responsibility to do. He'll agree. He hasn't given us more than we can bear. Okay? His burden is light. Talked about that. His burden is light. He's not heaping it on. We're not talking about that, well, it's just all up to us. No, it's thank God it's not all up to us. He's carrying an awful big load. He did all the heavy lifting. But just like He gave us the opportunity to be born again and to look to Him, every day in our life we have a choice. Am I going to do what He said? Am I going to take responsibility? Am I going to cast off the things He said to cast off? Or am I going to choose not to? This is critical. Because if we think it's just, God, I don't feel like it, and God, you're just going to have to change me. Well, He'll help change you. Don't make a mistake about that. His Word will change us. But if we think He's going to come in and change our attitude for us and just get us up and get us to start doing stuff, He won't.
Nope.
He won't do it. Why?
Because
He relegated that to us. If He will not stop somebody from going to hell and rejecting Him forever, He won't stop you if you want to lay in bed all day either. And not go to people say, well, I don't understand. I don't have any money. They don't have a job. They won't go work. God said to work with your hands. If you don't work, you don't eat. Bible says that. A lot of stuff that is not lining up with that, you know, in certain areas. But that's what the Bible says. And so we got to line up with what He says. He's not going to do everything for us, but it doesn't mean we have to do everything. If we'll just line up with what He says and do it and agree with Him, everything that He says will come to pass. So this is an area. We said all that. It seems like we can't hardly get going in on this part. But this all fits in when we talk about let not your heart be troubled. Who is the understood subject of that sentence? You, let not your heart be troubled.
Right.
He didn't say, I won't let your heart be troubled. I wish that were the case. That I'd wake up every day and it'd just be like, well, I have no choice. God's just going to bring me through and just carry me. Now, He'll carry us. He'll help us. Don't misunderstand me. But if I want to get out of bed and just be sourpuss and just start yielding my mouth to all kind of stuff, He'll let me. How do you know that, Jim? Well, we don't have to go there. I've done that before and so have you. We've all yielded ourselves to the wrong thing, but we don't have to.
That's right.
We can yield ourselves to Him and to His Word. We can let not our heart be troubled, even when we have every reason in the world to be troubled. Can we do it? We've said this before, but are there any asterisks there? Did He say, well, surely Jesus, if He knew there were days or conditions that you couldn't do this, surely He would have said it. He wouldn't have just left it, but it doesn't say that. It says, let not your heart be troubled. There are no caveats. There are no exceptions. He said, don't do it. So He can do it, or we can do it. Let's read a few more scriptures. Let's turn back to the verse 27 of chapter 14 there. This is good news. We can get the idea, the way the Word is taught sometimes, that if you go towards a certain direction, you can get to what you could call no-fault religion. In other words, nothing is ever my fault. Whatever will be, and I don't have anything to do with it, and it's all up to God. Like we've said, that's not the case, but that's convenient. But then that's where you get into where people think everything's God. Boy, if God is ruling this world, He sure has stuff in a mess. That's true. But He's not orchestrating everything.
That's right.
There is an enemy. There are people that make a mess of their lives. I mean, we could all do that at different points. I'm not throwing stones. I'm saying it's not God doing everything. We are not all puppets. And we do have an adversary. So this is good news. It takes responsibility to say, yeah, that's that. I've maybe been yielding to the things that I shouldn't have been yielding, to step up and say, I need to change some stuff. But the good news is we don't have to live necessarily like we've been living at different times. We can say, I've yielded to the wrong thing. I've let my heart be troubled when I didn't have to, and I can change that. Glory to God. God, give me the strength to do that. And He will. And He's faithful to do that. And this goes for every area. John 14, verse 27. Let's just go back to verse 26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. He's the Helper. The Holy Spirit is with us. He's in us, and He is our Helper. Who's going to help us get through the day? Who's going to help us do all the things that God has told us to do? The Helper. The Holy Spirit, the greater one, He's helping us. He's with us. He's for us. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's read verse 27 again. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Jesus' peace. Amen. Jesus' peace. Do we have the peace of God? We have it. He said we have it. Not as the world gives to you do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Same phrase again. Because we have the peace of Almighty God. We have His peace. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to John 16, a couple chapters back. Thank you, Lord. Verse 33, John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation if you live in, you know, the blue states. No. You may have tribulation, you know, if you don't live in the United States. No. You may have tribulation, you know, if you have a certain ethnicity or if you only make so much money. No. He said, in the world you will have tribulation. Will. Will. Now, in my Bible, it defines that word, tribulation. It means pressure. Oppression. Everybody ever felt pressure in this world? Oppression, stress, anguish, tribulation, adversity, affliction, crushing, squashing, squeezing. Has anybody ever felt this way? That you're being crushed or squashed, squeezed, distress. It also says this, imagine placing your hand on a stack of loose items and manually compressing them. This word is putting a lot of pressure on that which is free and unfettered, which is what we're supposed to be, but it's like you're squeezing. It said this word is like spiritual bench pressing. The word is used of crushing grapes or olives in a press. You get the picture? That's what Jesus said, that you will have this. You will have, in this world, this sense of crushing, of squeezing, of pressing. He said we would. He didn't say, if you had enough faith, you'd never experience this. He said you would have it. But, what does the next part of that verse say? In the world, you will. have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome it. He said, you're going to experience pressure and squeezing. Things coming against you, adversity, but be happy. Does that sound like, let not your heart be troubled? Because I have overcome the world. Jesus, could you ever imagine? Jesus. Now, he experienced pressure. Would you say he did or not? No, we know he did. In the garden, he was sweating drops of blood. Has anybody ever done that before? I know I have not been under that much stress. I've been under some stress, but never where I was so in anguish that I was sweating drops of blood. He's experienced it. But he said, I've overcome the world. Can you ever imagine him just trembling and just saying, I just can't take it anymore. I just can't. Forget it. I can't do it. And start letting loose with his mouth and saying, forget, I thought God was with me, but whatever. Now he said, God, why have you forsaken me? He said, God, if it's possible, take this cup from me. You're not want my will, but you're be done. But he did not fall apart. He did not start crying and throwing his hands up and say, I just don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what we're going to do. Where's God? He didn't say that, and he had every reason to be. God did forsake him on the cross. He has not forsaken us. But why did Jesus do that? For us. But you can't imagine it in your mind, Jesus being upset and just all frazzled. He's stressed out. Imagine Jesus before the Pharisees just being like, oh, I don't know. I don't think I have it today. I don't think I can preach today. I'm just down. Forget it, I'm staying home. Cancel the meeting. Tell all of them to go home. And I'm tired of these Pharisees always showing up at my meetings. I can't take it anymore. Always there. Come, I'm trying to do something good, trying to do the will of the Father, but I come, there's the Pharisees. I'm tired of it. Forget it. God, get somebody else. No, you don't see that. Jesus, there's storms going around. You know, he's in the back of the boat sleeping. They come and try to kill him. He just walks right back through the crowd. They couldn't kill him. But he said, I've overcome the world. And he's our big brother. We have God the Father. The Holy Spirit's in us. The adversary's been defeated. We can't lose if we'll agree with him and agree with what he said. Period. So when we feel like letting our heart be troubled, we can come and say, Jesus said there'd be days like this. Jesus said there was going to be tribulation, but he also said that he's overcome it. And God, I don't feel like it right now. I don't see how there's going to be a way out of this, but you said I'm overcome. I'm going to agree with you right now and let your will be done in my life. I'm going to agree with what you said. I'm not going to give place to the enemy, give place to those words of defeat and despair. I will look to you. I will glorify you. And I will say what your word says and what your will be done in my life, period. I will not let my heart be troubled. That's an act of your will, not of how we feel.
That's right.
And I didn't say it was easy. Your flesh wants to just go with the flow and just let her all rip. But when we say, flesh, shut up, mind, you be quiet, I am going to speak the word of God anyway, you will see a momentum come back and start changing your feelings and your mind. Our mind and our feelings will line up with the word of God and with what we're saying.
Amen.
But if we don't yield, and we start going and yielding to the wrong thing and start saying, I just don't know. We'll find that everything starts looking worse than when we started. It starts all feeling like nothing is going to be right. Even the things that we thought were good, we think are wrong. And now we get done with that spiel, everything looks worse. And we've just yielded to the enemy and basically declared that what he said will be done in our lives instead of what God said. But even if we do that, we can get right back up. And say, no, God, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. I break the power of those words, God. I'm sorry. Forgive me for going off like that and not trusting you, Lord. I'm sorry, that was stupid. Now I'm going to declare what is going to happen. And just shut the door. And don't feel condemned because you missed it. Just bring it before God, get it cleaned up, and go on and put that behind you and say, God, this is the way it's going to be. I might have stumbled in the mud, but I'm not going to wallow in it. And I'm getting up and I'm going on, and this is the way it's going to be. And if we have to do that 10 times in a day, 20 times in a day, we just keep doing it, and we just keep getting up, and we just keep going, and say what He says, and agree with God regardless, and don't get ruffled out of peace. Don't start letting your heart be troubled. When we let our heart be troubled, all kinds of stuff follows. We don't want that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to Psalm 46. I think we're on our way to closing here. I thought I'd just run through this today, but I don't think we're going to get there. But we'll go as long as God says. But let's turn over to Psalm 46. I think we're going to go to some other days. Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. A margin of my Bible says, an abundantly available help. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, we won't fear. We're not going to be upset. I mean, look at the things he's describing. Even though the earth is removed, the earth is shaken, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the mountains are crumbling and falling into the ocean, these are some heavy-duty things. These aren't like, you know, just light things. And he's saying, no, we're not going to be troubled. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, we're not going to fear. We're going to stand and glorify God and know that He's our refuge and our strength and an abundantly available help in time of trouble. And He's with me. Even though it looks like everything's falling into the sea, everything's falling apart, yet we can not fear. Can you do that?
Yes.
Yes, through His help we can do it.
Yes.
We can look to Him and when everything looks like it's coming apart at the seams.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was telling somebody early in the week, one of my instructors used to say that's like the pile-up technique. He said that's one of the devil's favorite tactics. Pile-up technique. You ever notice this? Everything's going well. You feel like you're further than you ever have been with God, and you're going. Just feels like you're hitting on all cylinders, and boom, something happens, and it's like, well, yeah, I got that. I'm okay. Not troubled. Then boom, another thing happens. All right, I'm still holding it together. Then boom, then boom, 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 boom. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, what's going on, God?
Yeah.
I could handle this, I could handle this, I could handle this, but I don't, and you can start coming off.
Yeah, yeah.
Hinges. You can start letting your mouth just wait a minute. I thought this, and I thought this, but what about this, and where are you, God? See, that's a common tactic. He does this to everybody. And to get it to when all the dust settles, you just don't even know where you were because you forgot the revelation that you had from God. You don't know what. You've just spouted against God. You don't know what's going on. You've declared all these things and you're just sitting there. That's what he wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a tactic.
Yeah.
So we don't, in the midst of that, remember this verse too. When it looks like the mountains are falling in the sea, when it looks like everything is coming down, when it looks like the sky is falling, that's the time to say, no, God is my refuge and strength. He is present here, and He is available to help right here, right now. God, I don't care what it looks like. I'm not going to look at that. You said you're present. You said these things would happen, but you said you'd overcome the world. I don't count you as a liar. I count you as truthful, and I declare that I will have what you said I have. You are a bigger God than this. You are bigger than these circumstances. You are bigger than this, and I will come through this and overcome. Period. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's when the squeezing is on, the pressure is on. That's the time to start speaking God's word.
Yeah.
It's not in the middle of service. It's not when the music's playing and everybody's together, everybody's raising our hands. That's easy most times to praise God. But that's not what gets the job done. It's when the pressure, that squashing, that squeezing, when the pile-up technique is in the middle of full force that we say, no, this will not stand. God, I count you true in the midst of this. I will not go by these lying vanities. I will declare your word is true. And God, I look to you. I will praise you. And I will declare your truth in spite of the circumstance. In spite of my feelings. In spite of everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil, the enemy cannot deal with this. What he's trying to do is put enough pressure on us to say, Uncle. Put enough pressure. He's got your hand behind your back. He's trying to push you to say, I give. But if we don't give, he can't take us. He knows it. He's trying to pull a deceptive. He knows he can't take us. So he's trying to get us to give in. And then he goes, ah, gotcha. Fooled you. That's what he's trying to do. But if we'll say, no, you can't defeat me. Jesus has already overcome you. You're a loser. I have more power than you. I am going to praise God. You can stand out there all day long, but I will praise him, and he is good. You'll find that he will be on the run.
Amen. It's a good word.
Period.
Good word.
Hallelujah. Do not cry, uncle. Do not let your heart be troubled. This goes, we all have to remember this. As we come into 2013 and go through it, we're going to probably experience pressure. And right now, if we purpose in our heart, some people are saying, yeah, it's already come. January 6th and we're there. But if we know that God has already said it's coming, so we make our game plan ahead of time, saying, okay, when it comes, here's the game plan. I'm not giving in. I will declare God is good regardless.
That's right.
You purpose in your heart before, because don't wait till you're in the middle of it and you feel like, oh man, it's all going to let loose. Don't wait now. Say purpose in your heart. Keep pumping the word in. Stay on top of stuff. Don't let stuff, when you feel like you don't want to read the Bible, when you feel like you don't want to go hear the word, don't want to come to church, say, nope, I'm not given any opportunity. I am not going to get to where I'm down and I can't handle anything. I'm staying on top of it. I'm staying with God. And I will purpose in my heart that in the middle of it, I'm coming out.
That's right.
And I'm going to end 2013 stronger than when I started.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.